Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Ruth. That is the book of Ruth and the chapter number 1. I'm commencing to read at verse number 6 of this passage of God's Word. And we read down there to verse number 18. That's verse 6 to verse 18 as we continue to study in this first chapter of the book of Ruth. And as we turn there in verse number 6, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. We end our reading there. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this morning, and we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt teach us things, Lord, from this passage that will help us as we go out into the world to live those who know and love thee. We pray that you'll teach, Lord, others today who know not the Savior, O God of eternal things, even from this passage of thy word. And we pray that thou wilt, Lord, be glorified in everything we do and everything we say, that the name of Christ will be uplifted. We pray this for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Now, in our first studies in this chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, we have looked at Elimelech, who was the father of the home. And we considered the sorrowful decision that he made in going to the land of Moab when he was in a time of extremity. He was in a time of difficulty. He was facing a famine. And so therefore, he made a decision that he would take his family with him, and he would take his wife Naomi and his two boys, and they would go to the land of Moab to dwell there. Now, he had a name. His name, Elimelech, means God is my king. But the reality is this, that whilst he had a great name, and he did not live up to the profession of the name that he carried. We carry the name Christian. There is a challenge. Do we live up to the standard of God's word of what a Christian really is? Christ within us. Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And instead of trusting God,
Instead of trusting the Lord to help him in his hour of extremity, he made a fleshly choice. And the sad reality was this: he paid a tragic price for his failure. Now, having taken his wife and his two sons with him, he walked out of the will of God. He never asked God. He never sought the face of God. He decided what he would do in his hour of extremity. No doubt he thought that that was the right thing to do. But it was wrong. He made the wrong decision. But friend, having set the example before his children, and he took his family into the land of Moab, we find that they were there, and when they got there, his two sons continued the example of the father, because they walked in disobedience too. Because they took unto themselves two Moabite women. Now, the word of God commanded clearly that they were not to do this. But the sad reality was this: here was the example of their father. He did not honor the Lord. He did not obey God and his word. And so, therefore, the sons followed after their father. And friend, what a tragic thing is this. Whenever a father leads his children wrong, whenever a father or a mother gives the family a wrong example. And friend, for a time it seems, because they were there in the land, and remember this, they took unto them wives, so everything seems to be going good. And for a period of time, it seems as if that what they have done, their failure, their sin, has been overlooked by God. But that was not so. Suddenly, tragedy struck, and the Bible tells us that Elimelech died. And also the two sons, they died as well. And all that this woman, Naomi, is now left with to show for her family's disobedience were three tombstones and three broken-hearted widows. That's now what she's left with. In the midst of Naomi's grief and calamity, friend, we find that news comes from Bethlehem and from Judah of what God is doing there. I was thinking about that this morning. I must be honest, I was standing shaving, and the thought came to me was this: had tragedy not have come into the life of Naomi, how long would they have stayed in Moab? How long would they have stayed there? Would the family have stayed there? My friend, it was tragedy that, in actual fact, the tragedy that happened in her home that actually was made, that made her to move. And sometimes, let me tell you, God has to ruffle your nest. Sometimes, my friend, God has to move in a very harsh way to bring his people back to reality, to bring his people back to himself. And here was a family that walked out of the will of God. They were doing their own thing. And it seemed to be that everything went on so well until tragedy struck. And then Elimelech died. And then the two sons died. And there's left three widows. And nothing to care for them. But you know, God's good. Because not only did tragedy strike to make them face the reality of their situation, but at that specific moment, friend, God sent the news of what happened. Look, it said there in verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." And there we find that, listen, she came to a decision. At that specific time, it seemed the devil had succeeded in destroying this family. It seemed as if the devil was ruling the whole situation. But friend, God overrules all that the devil has done. In his sovereign plan and his sovereign purpose. And at that specific time, she heard the news. She heard the news of what God was doing and how God visited his people in giving them bread in the land of Judah. And on hearing that news, she made a decision. She made a decision on the basis of the discovery that God had visited. It means to pay attention to care for with interest. And you'll notice there, that's the first mention of the Lord in the book of Ruth. Elimelech didn't mention the Lord. Up until that moment, none of the family mentioned the Lord, but it was the Lord himself that had to intervene, the one who is sovereign and in control. And on the basis of her discovery, she made a decision, friend. And then the word of God says this in verse 7, and here was the determination. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Out of the place where Elimelech had brought them to, the place of chastisement, the place where she lost her husband, the place where she lost her two sons, the place where she lost her dreams, the place where she lost her joy. For she's a bitter woman now. She's in bitterness of heart. She's lost her joy. She's lost out with God. And in the midst of all of that loss, God providentially intervenes. And she determines wherefore she went forth. She starts that long journey home. Friend, that journey's different than the one she made to Moab. When she was journeying there to Moab, she had her husband by her side. They could converse together. They would talk about their family situation. She had her two sons. But now they're gone. She turns her back in the midst of her grief, in the midst of her sorrow, her back on Moab, and she goes back to the land of promise. Have you wondered what was going through Naomi's mind? The Bible tells us what was going through her mind. You see, friend, listen, there was a struggle going on. The Bible says they went on the way to return unto the land of Moab. And then it says the next verse, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law. She speaks to her two daughters-in-law and she shows the struggle that's going on in her heart. You see, friend, she's not only a broken-hearted woman. She's a burdened woman. She's carrying a burden. She's carrying a heavy burden of responsibility. Because walking beside her is Orpah and Ruth. How is she going to care for them? Remember, she's returning with nothing. Remember, a widow at that time was in abject poverty. What would she say to the elders when she would come back to Bethlehem? When they would ask, who are these two women? And she would have to say, there were two Moabite women. How would she tell them that her sons had broken the law of God? How would she explain the reason that Mahlon and Chilion had broken God's law in marriage? Yes, she carries a heavy burden. See, it's not an easy road whenever you walk away from God, friend. When you turn and do your own thing and walk away from the path that God has planned for you, it's not an easy road. You know what the Bible says? The way of the transgressor is hard. She's finding that to be true. And maybe there's some person here today and you've walked away from God, friend. I'll tell you, if you really were a child of God, you'll find that the way of your transgression, it'll be hard. Because God will have to intervene. And God will have to intervene in your rebellion. And so she decides on a course of action. Look at verses 8 and 9. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them. And they lifted up their voice and wept. What I say about this, first of all, is this, that Naomi really cared for Orpah and Ruth. I'll tell you one of the reasons why she cared, not only because they were widows, but because Naomi believes that she carries a certain responsibility for the situation that they are in. Had Elimelech and Naomi not brought those two boys to Moab, Orpah and Ruth would not be in the situation that they found themselves in. Friend, that's true. Because they'd have never met. Orpah and Ruth would never have married those two sons had they have remained in Bethlehem, Judah. And so therefore she carries this burden. She realizes she carries a responsibility. It's my fault. It's my fault. Oh, that Elimelech and I had made the wise decision in the first place. And these girls, as she looked into the eyes of Orpah, she looked into the eyes of Ruth, she was carrying this burden. I'm responsible for their grief, for their widowhood, for the judgment of God. And so she says, go return each to her mother's house. In other words, back to your mother's care. Your mother can give you comfort that I can't give you. Your mother can give you love that only a mother can give. And then she prays. She said this. She says, the Lord deal kindly with you. And the word kindly means loving kindness, tenderly, with mercy. The Lord deal with loving kindness with you. And then she says, may the Lord grant unto you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Say, what does that mean? That they don't have a husband. Her husband's dead. What's she talking about? She says, may the Lord repay you. May the Lord bless you in finding rest, in finding security with another husband. That God will give you a husband to look after you. For my boys are no longer here. In other words, may the Lord bless you with another happy marriage, that you might find rest. That shows you the love that she had in her heart for these two girls. You see, Naomi sought to put the happiness of the two young women before her own. And then she kissed them. It just seems to be when she said this, she kisses them and she wants them to get away. She wants the parting to come quickly. The emotion of that hour of parting must be quick. And that, I believe, gives us the genuineness of the relationship that she had for these two young widows. But you know what the answer came? Verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will go with thee unto thy people. No, Naomi, we're not leaving you. We're not giving up on you. You have shown us love. But you know, Naomi is so burdened. Notice what it says next. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters." And she presses a point with these girls. In many ways, she was honestly setting before them the difficulties of going with her. She had nothing to offer them. She was poor. She couldn't support them financially. She couldn't, she was old. She couldn't give them husbands. There were no earthly inducements that she could offer them. There was no worldly gain to obtain. But you notice what she said there in those verses 12 and 13? All of those things were through the eyes of the flesh. That was humanly speaking. And they were true. But friend, let me ask you this question. Was that not what got the family and problem into the mess in the first place? Looking at through the eyes of man, not bringing God into the situation? She was telling them about all the difficulties of what it would mean. And then she turns to them and she says this, verse number 11. Notice what she says. "Why will you go with me? Why, tell me, Orpah, Ruth, why will you, what is that I've got to offer you? Why will you go with me?" There is no earthly reason that you would go with me. I'm a widow. I'm in want. I'm in woe. My heart's breaking. I've been stripped of all my possessions. She reminds me of the prodigal when he became in want. He had nothing to offer anybody anymore. And then he came home. And friend, Naomi speaks only through the eyes of man. And she says, "Why will you go with me?" She can see no reason that they should go with her. And then she says something else. Look at verse 13. "Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands, nay, my daughters?" And then she said this, "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Why will you go with me? It grieveth me. There she feels the burden of responsibility. I disobeyed God. I am so bitterly sorry. I'm sorry. Backslider, are you sorry for turning your back on God? Are you bitterly sorry? Does it grieve you? That once you walked with God, once you loved the Lord, once you were in the place of prayer, once you loved to study the Word of God, but the Bible's no longer in your hand. Yes, you've come to God's house and we praise God that. But my friend, listen, God for the rest of the weeks out of your life. And yet once he was in the very heart of it, the very center of it all. He says, "I'm bitterly sorry." Hymn writer says, "I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home." And friends, she said this, "It grieveth me much for your sakes, because the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." You see, friend, she's acknowledging this. What has happened to her was not by chance. The death of her husband and the death of her two boys were not by chance. She was acknowledging it was from him. It was from God. Now, I want to tell you this. Notice in what she's saying there, she's not blaming God. She realizes the sin's hers. But I'll tell you one thing about that when I read that. It wasn't that she was blaming God, that she was in the mess that she was in. She knew that chastisement had come from God. She knew that God's sovereign hand was in the midst of it. It was the hand of God was in this. And she says, it grieves me. I'm sorry. Do you know what she found hard? She found hard to forgive herself. And friends, let me tell you, the devil sometimes puts obstacles in people's way back to God. And the devil tries to give you every reason why that God won't forgive you and why God won't pardon your sin and why you can't get back to blessing and peace again. The devil will try to barricade your way back to God. The prodigal in the far country, let me tell you, he was in want. He had tried everything. He joined himself to the citizen of a far country. He sat down there at the swine trough. He watched the pigs eating. He longed for the food that they were eating. And he even reached out and took the animal's food. He was that far down. And then he says, I will arise and I'll go to my father. And I'll say to my father, Father, I've sinned against you. He didn't blame his father for the mess he was in. If you're under the chastising hand of God, my friend, don't blame God. It's about time you started to face up to it. It's your sin. And here we find she was grieved. It was from him. Her sin had brought the chastisement about. And she knows the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Listen to me this morning. There's a lesson in the midst of all of this. We don't live to ourselves. Our lives that we live will either lift others up or lead others astray. Your life that you're living, my friend, will either help somebody this week or it will hinder somebody this week. You'll be one or the other. The influence of your choice and others, just as those boys followed his father and mother down into the land of Moab, and as the father had disobeyed God, so did they. Father led his sons astray. And Ruth realizes, or Naomi realizes, that this is the hand of God. And she's heartbroken. And she begs him to return. Notice verse 14. They lift up their voice and they wept again. I tell you, sin breaks your heart. It ought to. Because it broke the heart of God. The Savior wept in the garden over your sin. over mine. It broke the heart of God. Tell me, does your sin break your heart? Now, many criticized Naomi, and certainly she was not always wise in her speaking. But we need to remember that while she had wandered away from God, friend, she didn't join herself to the gods of Moab. She didn't worship false gods. The Lord only let her go so far. God's merciful. In actual fact, you notice that on that journey home, she talks about the Lord. The Lord's back in her conversation. God's dealing with her heart. Look at verse number 8. The Lord deal kindly with you. There we find she's acknowledging the Lord. Verse 13. It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And the interesting thing is this. When she mentions the Lord, the girls don't mock her. They don't mock her. Do you remember whenever Lot mentioned to his sons-in-law? And he went out and he told them there in Sodom to get out of the city because God was going to judge the cities of the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says the sons mocked them. Mocked Lot. Lot, you brought us here. Lot. You are the one that brought us here. They mocked him. But these girls noticed something. I believe the tears were running down Naomi's cheeks that day. And she talked to them about the Lord. God was working in Naomi's heart. She's making her way back. And the girls didn't mock her that day. But sadly, in many ways, it showed a divided heart. On the one hand, she talked about the Lord. On the other hand, she was being guided by the flesh, the struggle. And you see, when you desire to get back to God, friend, the devil will try to bring everything into your heart and into your mind. The reason why you shouldn't. And the reason why you couldn't get back with God. Verse 14, quickly. It says this, they lifted up their voice and wept again. Not much happiness in this, is there? They're weeping again. And something happens in this moment, friend, because these two girls stand at a crossroads. And these two girls are about to make a decision. Which way will we go? And friend, you're at a crossroads. What way are you going to go? You see, we find here that the Bible says that Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. In verse 15, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Here's two girls facing the same opportunity. And they made different choices. The Bible speaks about Orpha. Yes, first of all, they declared earlier on in the passage of God's word, it says there in verse 10, surely we will return with thee unto the people. Yes, that's what they started with. They both started. We're going to go. We're not leaving you. But Orpha did. You see, friends, good intentions are not enough. And there's many a person who's sat in a gospel meeting and they know they need to be saved, but they're in hell today because good intentions is not enough. Many a person has sat under the preaching of God's word as a backslider, and they know they need to get back, friend. But they continue on the way they're going for good intentions are not enough. Both professed allegiance to Naomi. Both had treated Naomi and their husbands well. Both had wept over the proposed parting. Both had started out in the journey. Both had claimed their willingness to leave their country behind, their homeland, and embrace Israel. And now it's decision time. And Orpha weighed up the issues. And she kissed Naomi and walked away. Do you remember the Lord Jesus told the story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, about the rich young ruler? The Lord Jesus dealt with that young man. He said, "One thing thou lackest, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross. Come follow me." And there that day, that young lad who ran to Jesus down that dusty pathway fell at the Savior's feet, said, "Good Master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Listen, he wanted eternal life. He's dead earnest. Good intentions. And then he weighed up the cost of discipleship. And he decided it was too high. And the Bible says this: he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let me tell you, friend, he's in hell today. He's in hell now. And yet he came with such fervor and fell down at the feet of Christ. Orpha, she thought about it. And she thought about her mother. And she thought about her husband there back in Moab. And she thought about material well-being. And then she thought about what lay before if she went with Naomi. She walked away. Listen, notice what it says here. We're coming to finish this morning because we'll leave Ruth to another occasion. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. She left her in tears. But she left her. She left her brokenhearted. But she walked away from Naomi and from Naomi's God. She walked away with a regret in her heart. But she made the wrong decision. And listen to me carefully as I finish. She went back to her family. And quite often that's where a problem is, friend. What would my family say if I got right with God? What would my husband say? What would my wife say if I got right with God? And people, they have walked away from God, friend, and they embraced their family. Let me tell you, God took Naomi's family from her to bring her back. Be very careful very careful in your choice. And Orpah went back to her family, but also she did something else. It says she went back to her gods. She went back to her falsehood. She had heard about the Lord. Verse 6, about how God, the Lord had visited his people. She had heard about the Lord in verse 8. The Lord deal kindly with you. She heard about the Lord in verse 13. Yes, she knew about the Lord. But she went back to her falsehood. She was so close. So near. But she turned her back on God. Judah spent 3 years with the Lord. But he went to hell. Felix trembled. He went to hell. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Went to hell. Orpah was like the young man in Mark chapter 12, verse 34, when Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But friend, not far. But not in it. John Wesley said, she loved Naomi, but she did not love her so well as to quit her country for her sake. Thus many have a value for Christ and yet come short of salvation by him, because they cannot find in their hearts to forsake other things for him. They say that they love him, yet they leave him because they love other things better. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what God says. It's God first, friend. God first. And here's the last thought. Do you know that Orpah is never mentioned again? She leaves the story. And the man or woman that turns their back on God and goes to hell, friend, then shall I say unto them, sinner, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed. What an awful tragedy. She's never mentioned again. Why? She made the wrong choice. Will you? Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. May that be true of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for your truth today. And yet it's so solemn. What an awful tragedy, a young woman. She started with good intentions. But she went back. Never to be remembered of again. Oh God. Bring souls to your Son this day that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus' name. Amen.